Back in 2010, the UN designated World Interfaith Harmony Week to be observed the first week of February. In Metro, it has grown into 2 weeks of celebrations and explorations organized by Interfaith Harmony Halifax to foster interfaith awareness, understanding, appreciation, respect, diversity, inclusion, and peace. This year's events started January 30th and run right through till February 12th. Three of the folks central to this dropped into the Main Street living room to talk with Alex Mason.
My name is John Reitman. I am with Earth Spirit Society in the pagan community. And I am also on the Interfaith Harmony Halifax team since the second year it started.
I'm Joanna Mirsky-Wexler. I'm the president of the Shar Shalom, which is one of the Jewish synagogues in the city, part of the conservative movement. And John and I are actually co-chairs of Interfaith Harmony Halifax and have been for the last few years.
And I'm Dan McKay. I've been attending Interfaith Harmony for probably the last 10 years, and I've been on the team, I think, for the past three or so. I was raised very, very, very interdenominationally and ecumenically. So I am happy to be dancing around a tree with the Wiccans or putting my forehead on the floor with the Muslims.
I was looking at your huge list of events. I love that you've turned the week into 2 weeks again. Good on you. Your kickoff at the Anglican Cathedral Church of All Saints was on a theme of gratitude. I'm not sure if that's a theme sort of that runs through the whole 2 weeks, but I wondered if you guys could talk about gratitude, the challenges of channeling that right now in this time, the cold, dark, chaotic winter, the horrible news every day on our TVs and radios and screens.
I don't think it's a big challenge to get people into the space of gratitude. I think most people are very aware of the importance of it. They may get caught up in their lives and get sidetracked from it. But everywhere we go, people, when we talk about it, all the various different groups, people just sit and nod when they talk about gratitude and what it is to them.
They're on board.
Yeah, they are.
That's sort of in the interfaith circle? Is that like in that collection of communities?
Well, for whoever shows up.
Because I'm thinking about the way we're bombarded constantly by images of what we don't have, from advertising to people's social media posts, which may be very inauthentic and staged, but just the way there's constantly this awareness of where your life might be coming up short.
I think that's probably part of why we chose this as such a beautiful metaphor for what we're going through. And it was actually inspired in part by, I was at the grocery store and had a very simple interaction with someone who worked there. We talked about being grateful for things. And he said to me, that's actually, being grateful is part of how I pray. And I just paused and I said, actually, that's also how I pray. And we didn't even discuss our traditions themselves. It was a two-minute interaction. And then we had a meeting of the organizational team, and all of these ideas were coming out. And I sort of said, what if we talked about gratitude as something that we all experience and is part of prayer and meditation and mindfulness and part of a spiritual seeking in a lot of ways, about recognizing what we do have instead of what we don't have. So I think you've actually kind of hit it right in the feels. Like, this is part of what all of our traditions teach us.
And also, just to add to that, I also spent a great deal of time with the 12-step program people, and gratitude is a huge part of that as part of the healing process. And as Joanna said, it's gratitude is a core function of prayer in almost all traditions. It'd be really interesting. This is one of the great things about this week, is that you can get to get some perspective on that, a core tradition in perhaps all spiritual paths. For me, I think people need to be reminded to practice gratitude in tiny ways, because that's, unless you make it mindful, you may not do it on a regular basis. But for me, when I'm feeling particularly wretched, I start being grateful for for tinier and tinier and tinier things. So I'll put a spoonful of sugar in my coffee without spilling it on myself or on the floor, and I'll go, well, that went well.
What are other ways, whether within prayer or outside of that, what are other ways of making a deliberate, for people who aren't sort of in the habit of doing this, of making a deliberate practice of focusing on gratitude?
Well, I would ask you, John, because during that initial potluck dinner that we had at the All Saints Cathedral, which was wonderful, by the way, just I had so many really interesting conversations. And I heard from lots of folks of different traditions on how they incorporate those things, from small ways, chants, meditations, or holidays specifically. Did anyone hear any stories?
Yeah, I heard the people at my table, we talked for a while about this idea of a 28-day gratitude exercise where you have a little cheat sheet that you look at the beginning of the day that says, I am grateful for, or at the end of the day, here's the great things that happened today that I'm grateful for. And it turns out that doing that on a regular basis for a certain number of days actually changes you neurologically. It changes your brain. We had a therapist there who agreed that there's academic work based on that.
And this thing that you described as a cheat sheet, does this already have a list of the things that you are grateful for that you've thought up in advance? Or is this something that you're filling in day by day?
Filling in day by day. It's just a reminder of sentences that you can finish. Today, I'm grateful because... And then you fill in the blank a few times.
Can you fill in the same thing 2 days in a row, or is part of the challenge that you're always supposed to be coming up with something new?
Oh, I know. I fill in the same thing days in a row. I'm very often grateful for my health and for having a roof over my head.
John, in pagan traditions, what can you talk a little bit about some of the ways in which people focus on gratitude and make that a habit?
We celebrate 8 major celebrations of the wheel of the year. I think Samhain is the only one that isn't really about gratitude. We're grateful when the days start to get longer. We're grateful when things turn green. We're grateful when the harvest is in. Most of our celebrations are about gratitude and a little bit of partying, because having fun is part of life.
I noticed another event that has already gone by in your list of activities was the Earth Spirit Society hosting a celebration of midwinter. What is it that you call that?
Imbolc.
Talk a little bit about that. What were you grateful for there?
Imbolc comes from Celtic culture, and it was a celebration of when lambing starts, originally. When things start to turn green. In Nova Scotia, it doesn't really start to turn green in February.
No, but maybe not till June.
But we know that this is halfway to spring starting, and we celebrate the coming spring.
We talked about that midway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox earlier this week as like the mother of all hump days.
Right.
But I don't know if that is gratitude or not. Maybe that's not quite gratitude. Joanna, do you want to talk a bit about, in your faith tradition, just one of the ways that you focus on gratitude?
So I'll say two things. First of all, we have sort of like a Jewish Thanksgiving, which is called Sukkot. It's a holiday where you recognize, actually, not only that you're thankful, it's a harvest festival, so you're thankful for the harvest coming in and for the food that you eat. But it also is an acknowledgement that wealth is fleeting, and not actually what matters. That what matters is having people around you, community around you, and having a strong faith and background to support you. So that's what Sukkot is really about.
When do you do that? When is that on
the
calendar?
One of the October holidays. Okay. So it reminds us of the time where people would make a pilgrimage to the temple, and they would sort of stay in little booths on the side of the road. And so this is, you're recreating that march to the temple in a way. It's my favorite holiday, actually, because it really does remind me, like, you're part of something bigger that you need to be grateful for all the time. But we also have a meditation practice. So Jews pray 3 times a day, traditionally. Part of every prayer service is what we call a silent Amida, which actually just means to stand. And it is a silent standing meditation. When I do the Amida, and you're encouraged, if you want to say your own words of prayer, you can do so. For me, that is a recitation of gratitude, because and it's a long list to get through, and in a way I'm practicing that, as you said, like sometimes we need to practice the art of gratitude and actually remembering that we need to be grateful all the time, every day. So for me, that's a real centering. And when I teach prayer to my students in the Hebrew school, I always ask them what they're grateful for after they pray. I'm like, let this time center you and remind you what you actually are grateful for. And they come up with some wonderful things when they're wanting to share. Yeah.
At our opening potluck banquet, you know, we're in a hall in the Anglican Cathedral, and there were placemats out on the table just because people eat there, and there was a Anglican grace, you know, to be said before a meal, printed on these placemats, and it reminded me, and so we had a discussion about this around our table, that grace is a daily, you know, if you say grace, you're thanking. Very often, I think in Christian tradition, you're thanking the hands that made the meal and the hands that grew the food. And someone at the table remarked that for a Mi'kmaq grace, you also thank the animals and the vegetables that gave their lives so that you could be nourished.
You're building up toward, among maybe other things, but this event on the 8th. Tell us where that is, when that is, what that is.
So that is Sunday, February 8th at the Central Halifax Public Library on Spring Garden. Starts at 2 p.m. and will runs to about 4. So it is almost like a showcase of some of the spiritual traditions. And so it will be everything from, you can participate in a Tai Chi demonstration. There will be some Hindu songs and dances. There'll be the Earth Spirit Society pagan choir. We'll have a sound bath meditation through Resound. Hopefully, just securing now, quite possibly the Bhangra dancers will be with us. There'll be the Universalist Unitarian rock band's going to come and do a few songs for us. So everything really stems from different traditions. And there'll be some readings from the Baha'i community, from the Muslim community. So it's just a way for us to kind of share in a more outward-facing way, and an opportunity for people to participate. And then there's a bit of a reception where it's a real chance for open dialogue. And this, to me, is my favorite stuff. So we have, all throughout the week, we have lots of ways where you can engage or learn about other faiths and spiritual traditions. And that's an amazing opportunity. But this is actually a real coming together where people are, you know, if the Hindu youth choir is singing, you're going to have the Hindu youth choir and their parents to come and see their kids. And then it's an opportunity to engage and say, what's Hinduism all about? Tell me more. Or all of the people coming to do the Tai Chi demonstration, what's Taoism about? Tell me more. And it's a chance to really talk about it. And I think this, for me, is if I'm grateful for something really, for Interfaith Harmony Week, it's this coming together. It's the way that we can share together. You know, you talked about bad news hitting us all the time. It hits all of us all the time. These are the ways that we can engage with someone who's different than us in such a positive, constructive way and share an experience together that just brings us all closer together. Hmm.
Jeff had a guest on the show earlier this week. He was a psycho-spiritual advisor, David McGinley. And what did he say? He said, where can you enact compassion? We can only do it one life at a time. So the damage can be done, I guess, on a broad scale, but to rebuild relationships and, as he said, to love well and to find out that you are well-loved is something that you have to do in a much more personal way.
Someone told a story at our opening potluck banquet of the person who's on the beach throwing starfish. The beach is covered with starfish, and they're all dying because they're out of the water. They got washed up. And he's throwing starfish back in one by one. And someone comes along and says, look, what are you doing? There's thousands of starfish here. You can't make a difference. You can't make a difference to the number of starfish on the beach. And the guy throws a starfish in, and he said, yeah, but I just made a difference to that one.
Nicely put. Thank you so much for making time to come and tell us about this in a busy week.
Thank you so much for having us.
Joanna Mirsky-Wexler, Dan McKay, and John Reitman are involved in Interfaith Harmony Halifax. This year's events began on the 30th and run through to February 12th. Full list of activities at interfaithharmonyhfx.org.
This is CBC Public Broadcasting.